Are you looking for relief from stress, anxiety, or pain? If so, you may want to consider trying CBD. CBD is a natural compound found in the hemp plant that has been shown to have a variety of health benefits. CBD can help relax your mind and body, reduce inflammation, and improve sleep. It is also non-addictive and has no known side effects. If you're interested in trying CBD, check out our website at www.hypnotizeme.com. And remember, if you're not hypnotized, then you're not doing it right. That's hypnotizeme.com, www.hypnotizeme.com for our high-quality CBD products and drinks. Hypnotize Me, a sponsor of the Boss Fest podcast.
It seemed like everybody want to be a boss these days. Everybody want to be a boss till it's time to pay out, you feel me? Till it's time to pay that boss call. They ain't trying to have them tough conversations. They ain't trying to put in them extra hours, catching that windfall money, dealing with folks not being consistent. Don't get me started on the lack of sleep, but you know what they say.
Boss Life. B-O-S-S-F-E-S-T. Boss Fest Podcast. Each and every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, guaranteed to get you right. B-O-S-S-F-E-S-T, the Boss Fest Podcast. They might make you laugh, make you mad, make you cry. Either way it go, it's a vibe. Tune in, catch the topic, get the tea. Ain't no shallow waters over here, we get deep. You sensitive, easy to offend, you need to flee. But them tough conversations gonna be happening. Boss Fest Podcast, they hold it down. Wednesday, 7 Eastern, man, it's going down. Tell a friend, and y'all gather round. Get active in the comments, don't get lost in the crowd.
Hey, what's happening? It's your man, DJ Bush. I had to show love to Kevin and Edwina, Boss Fest Butler. Y'all know what time it is. The Boss Fest Podcast. But you already know what we live in.
Boss Life. B-O-S-S-F-E-S-T, the Boss Fest Podcast. Each and every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, guaranteed to get you right.
What's up, what's up, what's up? Welcome again to the Boss Fest Podcast. How y'all doing today? Listen, we got another one for y'all. Another good topic that I believe is going to be engaging, impactful, and should allow for us to kind of think outside of the box on some things. But, you know, before we jump into any topic, I always got to look to my right.
And you was confused if it was your left or your right?
I had to take a second guess to make sure. You know how when you in class, you'd be like, so that's what I had to do. I had to look. How you doing today, babe?
I'm doing good.
That's what's up. So
I already know you're doing good. You already told me that, so I'm ready.
I see that. I see you ready. So today's topic is, are you afraid of the dark? And I thought this was a very unique concept to things, you know, we know we used to feel as kids. So when you brought this topic about, I was like, man, how does this even make sense? But then when you kind of broke it down to me, I said, okay, I like it. And
well, I don't know where you're going with it, but I am actually afraid of the dark.
That is true. She is actually afraid of the dark.
I know we'll probably get into like what fears and things that we have, but I'm just going to throw that out there that I am a TV on sleeper and I do not like to be completely in the dark.
Fair enough. So I know we'll touch on those simple topics. I will second this comment.
I'm not trying to simple
you're afraid of the dark. I know it's something that, you know, you need some noise playing. So I won't necessarily say you're actually afraid of the dark. I just think you have to hear some noise, because if it's too quiet, then you're listening for everything and you can hear everything, and that is beyond annoying. So I'm definitely happy.
Don't give me too much. I am, but to clarify, I am afraid of the dark. I am afraid of the noises. Not necessarily afraid of the noises, but I'm a light sleeper, so I can hear the noises, but I am legitimately afraid of the dark. We went to New Orleans and we did that little ghost tour thing. I don't recommend 10, like 0 out of 10, recommend.
The little voodoo tour, that was awesome. Yes,
we did the little voodoo tour. Yeah, and like it confirmed
that you don't like the dark.
Yes, don't like the dark.
The problem is the people of New Orleans, they have a different spirituality as it relates to hoodoo and voodoo. So for them, it's a practice of a spirituality, which is, you know, derived in Africa and things of that nature. But the way we have modernized it, well, European society has modernized it into thinking it's something that should be scary. But the voodoo tour definitely makes sure, you know, you recognize the scary parts of it. So yeah, it had its moments. But before you jumped on that, I did want to second this comment that you had put out there. Yeah, listen. I'm loving that intro too.
It's like the more and more I hear the intro, since like we're talking about that, I listen to the intro and I say, man, like he hit on some stuff. So shout out to DJ Bush. I just really love the intro. We appreciate him for that.
What you want me to do? So shout out to DJ. So as we jump in this topic, are you afraid of dark? I looked at it from different ways, because metaphorically, you know, the dark is that thing that we see as the boogeyman. As kids growing up, you know, we were literally scared of the dark. We watch our kids grow up as they progress through life and be scared of the dark. But as they become more and more aware of the darkness around them, it doesn't become as scary. But as adults, sometimes I just find myself looking at certain situations like, man, that was a very scary situation. This might be my dark. Some of those things might be stuff in business, stuff with family, political stuff, religious spaces and things of that nature. Like, and it's like, man, what is my dark right now? I've had several darks throughout my life, but I think my dark right now, and I didn't even realize it was a dark for me. It was when, you know, when our daughter went to college, like losing that presence in the house.
Man, I hope your daughter is watching, because you try to act like you so big and strong and she good, I'm good. Trying to ask me, am I okay?
I'm good, but you know, it's no, I've raised this girl from when she came into this world. You had her a few months before me. Y'all had y'all bun before I could have my bun with her.
Okay.
Just saying. But I'm just like, now that she's no longer like under my roof, under my protection, she still has. I'm still protecting her, but I can't just immediately react now, because, you know, she's off in college doing her thing. And it's like, man, that's a fear of mine. If something were to happen, I can't move as fast as I typically would before to be able to reach her, to save her and do things like that. So that's a new fear for me.
Okay, so that's a dark for you.
That's a dark for me. That's a dark.
But you just realized
but that. But that's a recent. That's something that just came up. I'm starting off light.
No, I mean, I understand, because I haven't thought of that process as a dark for me. I'm really excited. It's the comment for me. I'm sorry. It said Kev gonna cry in the car.
I might go cry in the car. I did cry in the car a little bit. Don't do that.
I didn't see you cry. So you was too busy trying to ask me, you okay? I'm like, don't okay me to death.
I got you.
But I hadn't thought about it as a dark. I know parents try to like raise their kids the best they can. And then when you let them go, you hope that some of those things that you tried to instill in them stay with them. For me, it was, you know, like just watching her grow up. And I did so much preparing her for the moment that she was about to have, which, you know, is going into college and the things that she might incur when she does that. I had not prepared myself for the process of what that looks like. So as a parent, you know, we do a good job of trying to make sure our kids are okay. But I don't think we ever stopped in the movement to say, you know, this will be different. Our household will feel different. You know, how we function will be a little bit different without this extra like person here. So I hadn't thought about it as a dark for me. To me, it's a super exciting time in her life. And so therefore exciting time in our life, you know, I get to watch her become this whole different person. But in that like watching her become that, I realized that, hey, we are losing that little kid that we raised, but now we get to watch this adult, you know, grow. So I think that's a good call out.
Yeah. And with anything, you know, you go through, once you live in it for a while, you start to realize it's not as scary as it appeared at first. And you learn to embrace and accept. Another one of my darks, I guess.
You're just sharing today.
Okay. I'm a share. Another one of my darks is, I'll go into politics for this one real quick.
Oh gosh.
I know I shouldn't be in this space. It's a very dangerous space. But one of my darks right now in politics is that as we looking at this landscape of who we vote for, whether it's locally, nationally, and things of that nature, I have this dark that there's been a shift in the voting process within Black men. And before the Vice President, Kamala Harris, even took the nomination, it was already this paradigm shift of Black men leaning more towards Republican. And from a political space, I just feel like the moment that more Black men vote Republican than Democrat than they've done at any time in history since the 60s, Black women are now going to say that we as Black men are failing to protect Black women. And I just see that narrative playing out if Donald Trump is to win the election, which right now is anybody's race. But I just feel like if that come to pass and Black men only vote 80% Democratic and Donald Trump can get 20% of the Black male vote, I just feel like Black women are just going to crucify Black men.
And it's so wait a minute, your pair. Dark is that...
That's it. I said in politics.
Right, but I just want to clarify so that I have understanding of what you're saying. Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is in this election, you feel like if the outcome goes one way, that your dark is that Black women will feel a certain type of way towards Black men?
Yeah, I think there's already been a narrative put out there that Black men don't protect Black women. And if... we have, and if Black men don't vote for the Democratic Party, which it is start to have a disdain for at the rate it has done in the past, then it isn't going to be that all men, Black men were already starting to shift from the Democratic Party. It's going to be Black men don't protect Black women or don't support Black women. So, but that's my political dog.
I guess, like, I'm processing that piece. So, since you went political and you're using this as one of your dark things, do you think that there's been a shift already, like outside of the political, like race or whatever we're talking about, that like, has there been a shift that Black men just don't protect Black women anyway?
I think there's been a campaign to say Black men don't protect Black women. And I think there's a lot of data that can support that narrative. I don't buy into it. Let me not say I don't buy into it. I don't see it around me, which doesn't mean it doesn't exist. But if you look at certain statistics and rates and stuff, then yeah, it looks like Black men don't support Black women. But I know no other race either crucifies their men like that.
I mean, I guess I'll have to let this be like your dark item, because, you know, I definitely can see different aspects or different times where it feels like as Black women, we want to be supportive and sometimes Black men don't show up for us. But I don't necessarily, it's not like my scary thing. So
I said in political.
I know. So in your political, you know, things of like what you're afraid of or your dark item, I understand that's yours. I'm just making the argument for, can you see it outside of politically? Could that be a thing? But
yes, there have been times where you go to certain events and you see the room full of Black women, business leader, business owners, things of that nature, but you don't really see too many Black men. It's like it's few and far between. And it's like, man, where are we in supporting, you know, certain initiatives, certain agendas, certain
So let me play devil's advocate to that particular point. So I'll agree with you when there's networking events, because if I go to a networking event, the black women definitely show up. And we don't see as many black men show up. But I'm not going to say that's because they don't support black women. I think black men are looking for their thing, like their thing to show up for. Some events, and I'll definitely say, like, sometimes there's like a lot of pink in the advertisement. There's a lot of women showing up. And I don't know if men feel like that's their safe space to go to and support. Like, one thing that I try to be intentional with Boss Fest, while like our logo does have pink in it, I try to make sure there's a male presence, or like you can see like this is an event for everyone. So it's all inclusive. But some networking events that I go to will specify like women's conference, women's brunch, you know, wear your pink. So I think when men are looking at those type of things, that doesn't feel like this is for me. So while I can still work the narrative where, you know, black men may not always be there to support black women, I will just say, and you're talking about in that business networking space, I think that they're waiting to find their thing.
You think we're waiting to find our thing, or we don't know what our thing is?
I mean, it could be both. But like, let's say if there's cigar lounges, and I'm just using that as an example, you know, and it's like, hey, man, let's come network and let's discuss business. I think you would probably see men show up for that. I just think, you know, there hasn't been, you know, around here, let's say, because I mean, in bigger cities, there probably is, where black men are getting together, or men in general are getting together and saying like, let's have a drink, let's discuss this. Like, I think the wording in the advertisements have to be, you know, like centered towards you to make you interested in that. And a lot of networking events don't seem to be catered towards men in general.
I get you. So I definitely can agree, hear that point of view. I just see this playing out from a political standpoint where
we went back to politics
because it was still in that space a little bit. Okay. I'm going to get back out of it.
Okay. Cause I'm really trying not to eat you up with the politics. So I just want you to, you know, like move it along.
What you going to eat me up about?
I just feel like you tiptoeing on some things. So, you know, I'm just,
what you mean? I don't know.
I want you to read this next comment. How about that?
You got a comment? Okay. I don't like being around female masculinity. When I'm in boss or entrepreneur environment, women give that energy. There it is.
What do you think about that?
What do I feel about that? It depends on certain environments. So I think when it's an inclusive event, while women are in a boss mode and their boss element, I think it's dependent upon the male that's approaching them and the interaction they're having. So I feel like that's okay. I just think sometimes when it's like more like a women empowerment type deal, then sometimes that energy can become a little bit too masculine.
But if it's a women's empowerment event, it's not for you.
I get that. But sometimes women empowerment sometimes starts to translate sometimes into anti-men.
I don't agree with that. I don't know I've been to several events, but never have I been to an event that says, like, we are strong, F them men. Like, I just haven't myself heard that. What I hear is a lot of collaboration. Like, let's get together. Let's support each other. Let's lift each other up in business. Let's collaborate because we're stronger as one and we can do this. I think what I hear in those type of events are let's build a community, because I will say, as a black business owner, I do feel like as a community, we do less supporting of each other sometimes than other, you know, communities or races. So when I go to, you know, like women empowerment events or just women events, I do hear a lot of that message about supporting each other. Like, we all could be doing the same thing, but there's enough, you know, like we all can eat. So to break down those walls of feeling like we have to be in competition of each other, but we can support each other. So I hear a lot of that, not necessarily any men bashing, and maybe y'all sitting around thinking that that's what we got time for, but it's really women coming together, like trying to figure out how to make money together.
Okay. Okay. So I digress. I won't step on that landmine no more.
I'm not saying it's a landmine. I'm just telling you, you know, what my thoughts are.
Oh, I'm with you, but I ain't going to dance around that no more. I'm trying to think of another place I can go. Is there anything
you... No, so you're talking about like your fears are your dark places and just different things in life. I guess like if we're talking about fears, one of my fears is having a dream and just not ever trying hard enough to get that. So if I use it in business, like you think about something that you really want to do, but like being afraid because like you're the reason why you're not like hitting the goal. Does that make sense? Like sometimes I feel like I can be my own barrier because I'm afraid of what success may look like. And while I'm in it, I'm going through the motions, but it's like, man, if I take this extra step and it opens up this thing, now this is an unknown space. So am I afraid of the unknown space? And just really like when you sit and you marinate in things, you're like, man, am I the one thing that's holding me back? And that's kind of like my dark, as we call it, space, because I'm my own worst enemy. Although I want to succeed, it's being afraid of what that next step looks like.
But that's why they say entrepreneurship is only for the 1%, because you have to step into an unknown territory. Like it's like you're flirting with disaster every time you try to go after something good or great. So those people who had an ideal of greatness, who became millionaires and billionaires, not even that extreme, just those people who became successful in life, and they had to step out on something. Something said, "Hey, man, I don't know if you're gonna be able to eat tomorrow if you make this step, or the way that you've been living your life up to this point, if you keep progressing this way, there is nothing that's telling you that you're going to make the next step you make is going to be on solid ground. You may fall flat on your face." And to be an entrepreneur, it's always taking that step out in the unknown spaces and a lot of times falling on your face until you eventually stand tall. Then that fear goes away, but you have to fall a lot. And a lot of people, myself included, like, I'm afraid of the fall because my impact of what happens if I fall too hard. If it's just me getting hurt, then that's fine. But I don't want to fall so hard that it impacts our livelihood, the way our kids can eat and think and stuff like that. So that's definitely a dart.
Right. So then how do you like you overcome those things? Because in entrepreneurship, that's what everyone says. Like to be successful, you got to step out. Like you got to go past that point. Because greatness awaits you past that point. But if you're always afraid to step your foot out past that point and see what lies ahead, then what are you doing? So like, how do you fix, you know, that dark place or that fear that you have?
I don't know if it's something you can fix immediately. I believe it's, you know, as you're doing different things, getting in different spaces, getting in different rooms, interacting with different people, you start to become more confident in taking that step. So if you're still in the same place and interacting with the same people that's doing the same things, then no, you're never going to be confident enough to take that step out and say, hey, I want to try to branch out and do something else. For me, entrepreneurship or that journey of entrepreneurship isn't even necessarily like, I want to be the millionaire or the billionaire. I just want to be in a position where now, if I want to take certain trips, or take 4 trips a year.
So you want freedom.
I just want the flexibility to be able to live my life so that way I can just enjoy this life. I don't want too much money. I just want just enough so I can enjoy a trip or two. Nothing major. I don't need nothing too crazy. Just like 50 million. A year. Nothing too crazy.
Okay. So you have put on social media, like you made a post earlier today, and it was like something about you being afraid to be in rooms and like afraid to talk to people at certain points, but like you're breaking that. I personally have noticed, like I'll call that like, you know, one of your darts or like your fears, because I've watched you be in rooms and like just kind of, you know, like sit and kind of chill in the back and not, you know, speak to people. So I mean, if that's one of your dark points or your fears, are you overcoming that?
I'm getting better at it. I don't know if I will ever completely overcome it,
I just think it depends on which rooms I'm in. I'll say this. Certain rooms don't seem as big as they used to me.
Okay, elaborate.
There were certain, so when we first got together many, many, many years ago.
You don't have to do all that.
Sorry. You remember we took a trip down to Miami.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to go stay in...
It was an intercontinental.
Listen, I get it. But for me, who've never been into... Like, I've never been exposed to that type of energy, like that type of movement and stuff. It felt foreign to me. I didn't even want to leave out the room. Like, I didn't want to...
You didn't even want to walk in a hotel.
I didn't want to walk in the hotel.
So anybody that's been to Miami... What is this, like, South Beach? It's on South Beach. Almost right by, like, the cruise dock. It's a huge intercontinental that kind of sits, like, off, I guess, like, the highway or whatever, several stories high. Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to walk in the lobby. I felt like, man, I didn't belong to be in this place and stuff like that. Like, I felt like that wasn't me. Now, fast forward all these years later, shoot. I don't care where I'm at in that type of space, but there was an initial fear for me because I had never been in those type of spaces before. And you'll be surprised, like, man, for certain people, even living in America and stuff, like, the exposure levels are different depending upon what area you're in. If you grew up in a rural country area and stuff like that, and you mostly used to seeing trailers and fields and stuff, going into the big city and going into a downtown area, like, it just seems like, wow. So that was one of those things that, like, now though, I've had to keep being exposed to it. And once I got to a certain point, man, I don't care where I walk in. That's what it's like in business and some of these business spaces. I walk in some of these rooms and you look at some of these titles, like, oh man, I am the manager of this and I am finance of this and I own this business and I'm doing this. When I first used to walk in those rooms, I'm like, man, dang, what do I got to offer? Now when I walk in those rooms, I say, man, I got something I can offer to everybody in here. But those rooms are becoming smaller. So as I start to progress and get into larger rooms and bigger spaces with bigger people, I just got to make sure I keep elevating my brand and my business to the point where those rooms start to become small as well. But I think as long as something seems too big to me, I still will have that. I'm still going to revert back to that dark or that fear. And it's just crazy.
So do you stop going to the big rooms? Like,
no. I'm not stopping going to the big rooms. But I'm trying to make sure now when I step in the big rooms, my presence is felt.
Okay. Tell me how you're doing it.
This ain't about me.
I just want to know. And why can't it be about you?
Yes, ma'am. Let's continue to being about me. So as I'm walking into these big rooms, I'm surveying the space now. I'm getting more comfortable being able to speak, interact with people. Understanding, man, everybody's human. I don't know what people went through in their normal everyday life. Most people just want to be treated right. So if I approach it from a regular standpoint and not from a, I'm going to say not from a clout chasing point. Check out the collaboration of a clout chasing episode 54 of the Boss Fest podcast. We had some great conversation with that one. But, I think if I'm not trying to approach it from that angle, I'm better in those spaces and I can just navigate better.
So that's what I was going to say. We had Taj on last week and I thought he made some really good points behind that. Cause even, you know, he himself was saying, you know, I still have issues, you know, getting in people's face and being able to just walk up and talk to people. But I try to like present myself a certain way so that way I kind of draw people towards me. And I took from that, people still feel a certain type of way, no matter who you are, when you get in certain rooms, everyone's not comfortable, you know, like going around and, you know, talking to everyone and, you know, asking different questions. So finding your level of comfort and how you're comfortable in those settings, because you still have to be in them. So I really was like, that was a key point to me because like in my business life, if I'm handling business, then I can, you know, go and talk to you because I'm handling this. But now when you take that away and you have to present yourself to someone, then there is always this level of being uncomfortable and how you break that wall to, you know, introduce yourself and start a conversation.
No, that's true. So I'll go ahead and read this comment from the This, That, and Other podcast. My dark is a constant thoughts of am I doing all I can to be a good father, not just providing for them, but am I giving them all the knowledge they need to thrive in this world as they grow older? Because I'm still learning things myself. And I would tell you as a father, that is definitely one of my darks as well. Because I know I can provide well, but at times I feel like, man, am I being enough for them? Sometimes, you know, work becomes overwhelming, trying to strive to be successful in life. And you miss out on moments and you're like, man, are your kids going to resent you because you missed out on certain things? And there's phases in their lives that every kid go through. You know, first they idolize you. From a certain age, your kids idolize you. You're the best thing in the world. Then they vilify you or demonize you because now you're putting structures and restraints on them to try to protect them in the world. And sometime, who knows when that next phase kicks in? It could be decades. Then they start to humanize you. You start saying, man, you know what? Now I can understand why my parents did the way things they did, or I can understand why they behaved the way they behaved because they were just fighting some of their own battles. I still find myself humanizing my parents at 40 years on this earth. Like, man, yeah, you know what? That was some opportunities. Like, back then, I was like, to that. But now, like, you know what? I guess I can understand. So I start to humanize certain things.
I think that was some really good advice. Some gems you were dropping. I felt like you got that out of a book or something.
Yes, that's where you get good information from, is books and stuff.
Okay.
Like, I ain't just out here just making it up. I ain't gonna go back political. Never mind.
You was gonna that's what you was gonna do. It's just either way, I feel like that was really some great information and gems that you dropped in him saying that he feels like, you know, that's one of his darks about making sure he's a good father. I think that's true for either parent. Cause I felt the same way. That's actually like my drive to be an entrepreneur. I was in the corporate space chasing like leadership roles and trying to move up. And I realized I was missing a lot of things in our personal life, whether it's, you know, milestones with our kids, moments with my husband, and just different things in life. I mean, like even chances to be with friends, like it was always on call, always trying to, you know, be there so that they know like, hey, I'm trying to be the next person in line for this role or that role. And when you turn around, years have passed while you're chasing that and you can't ever get that time back. So that really became my drive to want to be an entrepreneur, because that whole freedom piece that you talked about before. Like, I don't ever want to give so much of myself to someone else for them to grow their business and them to have extra money, because these are literally the most important thing I have is time.
When you speak on that, it just made me remember how like COVID came around. And I think COVID exposed a lot of people's dark. Like a lot of like we live in Florida, and Florida didn't have the type of crackdowns and lockdowns like other states did.
It was COVID for like 2 months.
I was going to say like 2 days. Like, I ain't going to give Ron DeSantis too much credit for anything, but I'll give him that one. Like, whatever decision he made to buck the system, he was like, nah, if they going to die, let them die on their own accord, and we okay. Some people lost their lives and stuff. But it was like, man, I can't stop these people from being able to live their lives. So we wasn't really locked down in our homes, but there were places that were locked down for months. These people in their homes by themselves, like just lonely. And those people who were just chasing careers, chasing that bag. And when they came home to nothing, but they didn't feel the impact of them coming home to nothing when they was chasing that bag, because they was giving 12, 14 hours to a corporate job and things of that nature. Now you're just in this apartment, this house by yourself that you built. You got all the money, you got all the stuff you wanted to do, and you just in here by yourself, no family, no friends, no And you're just like, man, is this what I worked for? Is this my existence? And it shook people. So because of that dark that COVID created in our world as a whole nation, as a whole world, I think a lot of us came to define what our dark now represents in this day and age.
I think that's a really important call out. I mean, we didn't experience any downtime. Like, I guess we were essential workers, how we got in that category. But
listen, DeSantis said, nope, take y'all butts to work. I was like, okay. I tried to get a couple of days. I'm like, hey, they said we supposed to be locked down. They said, nope, you got titled with essential. Like, man, damn it. All right. But then they gave me all that essential pay, and I was like, thank you. So
I must have missed this essential pay you got.
Ooh, Jesus.
You hid the essential pay?
We spent the essential pay.
I don't remember.
It just hit the account, and you just was buying stuff. It was essential, though. It was essential.
But I definitely think COVID really did expose a lot of things, whether you're talking about, I mean, like friendships, like there was just a lot of change and people looked at life differently when COVID hit. I know I definitely did. I just thought you were reading comments.
I'm reading the comments today. All right. This from Tone. Fine line to tread when dealing with women in business. They're supposed to be that way. A wise one will pick and choose when to give that energy out. Did I read it wrong?
No, you didn't read it wrong. I was just wondering if he was going back to when we were talking about the women and like the conferences are, you know, like the business conferences. I was just kind of confused.
Possibly, like, but we got to get into some more rooms and see if they still doing that.
That was a reply. Okay, perfect. He replied to a comment. We missed that it was a reply. Now it makes sense. He was replying to the other comment about, I'm just clarifying it for everybody else. Calm down.
Yes, ma'am. What else you going to read?
I'm not going to read anything. I was going back to the first comment. So he was replying to the female masculinity that you said earlier. And I actually agree with Carlos, but our tone. But obviously that's coming from a female standpoint. I think one thing that I feel like with females in general, that the energy that we give off, like we return what's given. So sometimes we do have to act in a more masculine form, depending on what we're handling, but the right man will fix what's there. Like there are certain times where people may feel like, damn, she be doing too much. Like she very masculine and she handles business. But when we're in this house and you say, like it's whatever, people don't see what that point of view is. And I'm like, all right, y'all, I got to get off the phone. I done, you know, talk this talk a little bit too much. And Kevin said, cut it out. And that's just what it is. So there's definitely a time and a place. But if you're talking about in the office, like, you know, if I'm, you know, in my 9 to 5, I have to give off what energy is needed for like my team to respect me, my peers to respect me. And the same thing, if you're talking about in an entrepreneurial space, there's also a certain energy that I may give off depending on the situation. But again, if you're talking about in a relationship between a man and a woman, my energy is going to change based on what energy you may command in that moment. And that's,
I give you that. Because most women that I've dealt with in corporate space, depending on the particular role, like if they were like managers, like that have to manage over a team or a crew of people, they gave off more masculine energy because I think they understood that, hey, if I'm going into a field or a place where it's mostly dominated by males, I'm this female leader or this female boss, and I want them to respect me for being a boss and not thinking that I'm just got this job because I was a female or because I was a black female or whatever the case people put out there and narrative they put in this space. I need to show them that I'm just as committed and I'm just as valuable as any leader that's came before you. So I definitely can see that. I've witnessed it with a lot of leaders in my company, like female leaders, and like, hey, you got it, boss. And I give them that same respect as I give any other male. But they did have to climb a wall. And I didn't even realize that they did have to climb over a wall that shouldn't really exist. The same way if a new male coming to the space that's a leader and a boss, he's automatically given a certain level of respect. But as for a female, it's always like they have to prove themselves that they earn just that baseline level of respect. And then you start trying to work towards it. And
I know you came to preach today. Go ahead.
Listen, I'm dropping gems today. I'm what? Cutting up this content today.
What?
Chopping it up. But it's just crazy to me. Now that I'm sitting here just processing all of it, I used to do it before. I don't do it anymore because I've been working around so many powerful and influential females. And I got a boss chick on my team, on my side. And when she started bossing up around me, I'm like, wait a minute, why are we doing this? But I realized that's who she always been. It's just now I'm actually paying attention to it and realizing, all right, now let's navigate this in different spaces in different ways. But yeah, that's crazy.
So I remember when we first had the conversation and I'm on my 9-to-5 and I tell you, hey, I have a chance to like grow in the company and be a leader. What should I do? And we decide that I'm going to do that. And the moment that I get that leadership role, the people, like the attacks that were coming to me, and people really don't understand what that looks like. There were a lot of attacks, and we had to sit down a lot of times, and I had to tell you, like, hey, this happened at work and this happened. What should I do in these situations? And to be honest, like, you were my biggest coach getting through that and making sure that when I was at that place of work, people didn't see that, like, you were getting to me or there was any difference. I handled my business in that place. But maybe when I left that place, there was a breakdown and like, hey, this is a lot to have to deal with, because there were people that could have been my subordinates that thought they could come and try me, or people that would down talk the work that I do that are supposed to be, you know, my peers. But because I was a woman, like, I couldn't do it the same way they would do it. I heard men jokes that were like really absurd and just outrageous that you're even saying these things with a woman and, you know, presence, but just like just the down talk and someone saying, hey, I'll give it to this man. I still have people come into my place of business and will want to speak to the person I just hired today because they're not a woman or not of color, because you think that they know more than I do. But little do you know, they start on day one. They still have to come to me to ask me the questions. But they give that person a level of respect that they won't give me in the business. So women go through a lot of different things, and it's definitely a lot of different stepping stones that we have to. So I'm just going to say I appreciate you recognizing that. And I've been doing this a lot of years now, so the tone is different, you know, than when I first started. And that's probably like what you may see. But it took a lot of bossing up and a lot of strength to be like, hey, I can talk this talk now. Because when I first started, that's not what it was.
Jeez.
What?
I'm just saying. Talk your boss talk, babe.
But I'm just saying, like, you can remember back to those days when I'm like, man, these men in here, like, saying this and they acting like this, and I don't really know how to approach it. You were the coach that was like, man, say it like this. And if they say a joke that seems, you know, like, it's rude to you or they shouldn't be saying that to women, don't flinch. Let them say the joke. Like, don't let it bother you. Stand 10 toes down. And I did that. So I'm like, you're going to have to respect me for this. But there's a lot of times as a woman, you shouldn't have to put up with some of those things. But we do to be better. So, I mean, I'm just going back to the whole thing. I completely, again, agree with what Tone was saying in the comment.
As I hear you say it, it's just processing in my head right now. I gave you the tools to survive it. I don't know if I necessarily gave you the tools to overcome it. Like, I'm thinking about some of these examples. Like, I'm like, hey, man, they over there and they having these conversations, man. And we know it's off-putting and it's crazy. Man, don't become overly sensitive to it. Just let them know that you can be a part of the crew and a part of the team. And maybe they'll embrace you and maybe they'll accept you. But the reality of that shit is, no. You still going to be seen a certain damn way. And that's crazy. Like, my goal was in my attempt to try to protect you from it, I might have set you back a little bit. I'm glad you overcame it in your own unique way. I think you took what you needed to take from me at during those time periods and use it to get you to the next levels and be who you are today. But yeah, shit. I think I gave some bad advice. I think I gave you some bad advice.
You recognizing some dark, like, so I'll say this, to not necessarily say that you gave some bad advice. In the environment that I was in at the time, I felt like it was the right advice for the time. I had to show my strength in that moment. Now, the person that I am today, which we won't talk about how many years ago that advice was actually given, because there was a different climate then than it is now.
Right.
But I wish you would today. So there's definitely a different me now than there was then. But you can't say no comments to me and think I'm not going to speak up. You can't, you know, come at me a certain type of way and think I won't say anything. And that goes for whether I'm in the office or at home. And sometimes me and may feel a certain type of way, like, man, she's doing too much. She's saying too much. But I stand on what I believe. Like, nobody has to go to bat for me anymore because I got this. And if somebody has to go to bat, like, you don't want to see what that looks like. Because if I don't got it, that means you coming. And that's just a whole nother problem. But what I'm saying is, when you're talking about, like, am I 9 to 5? I had to go through that to become this. And you better believe, like, in my business, I just say whatever I got to say. And that's just what it is.
You know what? I'm glad that you became that person, because I ain't gonna lie. The early stages.
You glad today? You won't be glad every day.
I'm just thinking, I'm processing it also. And in those moments when I knew that it was getting to you, right? And I'm trying to tell you to be strong. In the back of my mind, I wanted to come in your job and get you fired and me arrested. Like, it was a couple of times where you like, man.
Like, I was at my job. Somebody hit me in the face with a pie. I know you wanted to, like, fight. Like, we could talk about those things then. So, I don't know where we going with, like, afraid of the dark.
That's a dark place for me right now. Ooh, I don't even want to think about it no more.
But I think sometimes, like, when you're talking about podcasting, you're talking about our viewers, like, people get to hear our voices where we are now. But I think the story, or however we got to this, lets people understand how you got here. You know what I mean? Because I wasn't always this person. If people would have known me, you know, if people could trace me back, I'm not going to say how many years ago, I was very timid and not self-assured. And it just takes work on yourself to get to this point. So when people are like, man, like, she always got something to say. She talked too strong. She do that. Man, that was years of built. And now you just, you know, stuck with the monster that's been created. This is what it is.
I'm happy with the monster. Most days.
Most days. Because you don't like it every day.
I don't like it when the monster turn on me.
That talk sometimes.
You know, I don't like it when the monster turn on me and I ain't got no good answer for the monster. Like, God damn it. Just disappear.
But anyway, so we can move on.
Woo, yeah, let's move on. Jesus.
I feel like you missed a couple of comments. So it says, unfortunately, in corporate world, male bosses automatically get the respect when in that position and the women have to earn it. 100%. I mean, you know, I agree with that.
I had a couple of colleagues call my new boss a DEI hype. Like, man.
There's a lot of that word going around.
Yeah,
now.
Man. How did she get that job? She must have been a DEI hype. She was a, like I said, she a beast.
So this says, that's real. We not only need to be happily married, but also unhappily married. We not always going to get along. And that's okay. Agree. I feel like somehow we got into marriage counseling on this podcast.
We still in the dark. It just ventured off into some light somewhere. We drift back in the dark eventually. But, man, I'm trying to talk. So I talked about darks and politics. We talked about darks and life.
I started this talking about the darks that I feel in business. And always being like afraid of what that next step is. I'm going to like kind of relate that to Boss Fest. Every time we try to, you know, or we go out and we say we're going to do a Boss Fest event, there's a little bit of fear, like this dark monster that creeps over me. And it says, man, like, you spend a lot of money to, you know, bring this conversation to people, to help other entrepreneurs. And I feel like with Emmy, like I do it because I was there before. Like when we started this thing in business, although we had corporate, you know, mindset behind us, which I feel like has helped us. Everyone doesn't have that. And then when you go to networking events and you encounter other people, and you're like, man, you don't even know where to start your business. Like you don't even have an LLC. Like, what are you doing? You don't have this, that, or whatever. And that's kind of what built a little bit of this mindset about let's create this thing. But every time we go out and we try to say, like, let's do Boss Fest, there's that dark thing that creeps over me and it says, man, should you do this? And then every time we do it, after it's over, I say, you shouldn't do it again. And then some things just won't let it, like in my soul, just won't let it go. And
you shouldn't do it again, or you should do it again.
No, I say it's over and I'm breathing. And I say, all right, you did it. Don't do it again.
Don't do it again.
And then I sleep on it for a couple of weeks and I say, where's the meetings? Because it's time to go again. But right after it's over, I literally tell myself, all right, don't do it again. But it's something that I can't let go. And it's really just a fear for me of like continuing this and like how to make it great. Do people really appreciate what's like what you're doing? And I think in a lot of business conferences, like people come together and they network, but I don't ever get to see the behind the scenes or like the good things, the connections that people make. Because when you're in it and you're creating that, I see like the things that didn't happen right, the money that's being spent, like because I'm like making the wheels and things move on that aspect, I don't always see the great things. And it really, if I'm 100% transparent, that is always a fear of like, man, are you doing the right thing? Should you be doing this? And I always feel it when we start. And then as soon as it's over, I feel it. And then like I sleep on it and I can't get it out of my mind. So then I do it all over again.
So do you do it because you fear failing, or you do it because you fear like you're going to be missing out something if you don't do it?
So when it's time to start again, I think when I'm starting it, it's the fear of failure. Okay. When I'm ending it, it's a fear of like, hey, it didn't go the way that I thought it would go. Like, how did people perceive it? So it's that fear of like the perception of everyone else. Mm. And that's two different fears at like a start and then a finish that I have.
So how do you think a successful event would actually look like in your head? For you, and I mean, I say in your head, how do you feel like a successful event would be? What would a successful event look like?
For me, like the way that I'm gauging success is obviously we have people in the room that are getting the message and not an empty room. So I gauge that a couple different ways. So success for me is accomplishing the mission for someone. People get the message, they make connections, and they grow in their business. That's a part of me feeling like it's a success. The other part of it is I have to think there's not like a business backing me, or we don't have a billion sponsors that help pay for Boss Fest. This is a self-funded thing. So when I look at that, it's always a fear of, am I taking away from my household and my children to accomplish this dream? And to help everybody win, and is it worth it to do so?
So for me, I do it, or I continue to press forward in these things. It's not necessarily for everybody else. It's for selfish intent. Because we started this event, these events, we've been able to network and meet different people. We've been exposed to different spaces, different things. We walk in certain rooms in our area, in our community. People are like, oh man, I can recognize y'all. I see what y'all doing. Can we do something? Can we link up and put possibly build something? That wasn't happening before. And I like the educational piece of it. And if I can bring the education I'm already getting, right? And if I can bring it on, if I can present it in a format that makes it available for anybody else who want to get it at a better rate, at a more cost-effective rate, then why not present it to the people? Sometimes I don't think it's always received that way. Because a lot of people in business feel like, oh man, why am I going to spend this money? Why am I going to do this for that? But sometimes that one connection you need to help get your ideal off the ground, maybe sit in that room. And what's the cost of that a ticket? now that your business is generating funding, was it worth it? Everybody who's been in the room says yes. People that's on the outside who have never been in the room don't know what to say. So they going like, oh man, I wouldn't do that. I'll never be in that. I won't spend a part of that. But you ain't the people we're really talking to anyway. We talking to the people that's trying to be in a better place, be in a better financial place, expand their brand, expand their knowledge in their business. Like grant writing for me, it used to give me joy. Then it brought me pain. Now we're starting to bring me back a revelation. And through this new revelation, I'm finna reintroduce myself to the community as a grant writer again and start, you know, putting a product out there that I can feel comfortable with and know that, hey man, I gave it 100% of me. And the people who actually invest 100% of them times into that process will feel good about what they got and what they learned. And for a while there, man, I was allowing a whole lot of people who wasn't even in my space to be like, man, oh man, this is a hustle, this is a scam and all that stuff like that. I'm sitting here looking at people still eating off of stuff I did 2, 3, 4 years ago. Like, man, damn, y'all still eating off of that? But them people ain't talking as loud as the people who I never did anything for speak. But I'm like, you know what? I got to get out of that mindset. And I got to be like, man, put this product out here. That's going to be my niche. I'm going to niche down. I'm going to be Kevin Butler, that grant writer. That's my expertise. And I'm going to stick there. And that's what I'm going to present to the people when I step in these rooms.
Kev the grant writer.
Listen, call me Kev the grant writer. I'm going to put that at the bottom of my name, Kev the grant writer, on the podcast, on my name tag, when I'm going into rooms, Kev the grant writer. And I'm going to niche down and I'm going to give people those tools. Like, hey, man, this is what you need to do. If you're trying to grow something, you're trying to build something. Because a lot of people I talked to through the grant writing process, I realized their business wasn't even set up straight, which is why we started Boss Fest. Because like, man, how can I help you get grants if you don't even got your business structured to receive funding? And that's how we birthed this thing. So I'm excited.
You sound excited.
I'm scared still, very scared, because, you know,
taking you to your dark place.
It's taking me to my dark place. You know, whenever you invest your energy into something, you hope that people receive it as well as you. And I got to take a page from Tyler Perry. And, you know, he was out here producing plays, writing plays, doing stuff in the community, and was nothing selling, was nothing generating any funding, no backing, no business, no nothing. And all of a sudden, and I ain't gonna say all of a sudden, he pretty much had given it up. And somebody had reached out to him and said, man, I seen your play. I think you got something here. Can you bring it to this area? He was like, no. They said, no. We want to help support and da-da-da-da-da. With the right support, he was able to sell out that damn show. And he'd been selling out shows.
The storyline of Maxine's Baby?
Everybody ain't seen Maxine's Baby. Oh, okay. Go ahead. But the fact of the matter is that sometimes when we out here putting ourselves in these spaces, sometimes we don't think everybody sees what we see. And I think we be trying to help people more sometimes than we be trying to help ourselves.
Maybe more than they're helping themselves.
And even more than they're helping themselves. You be like, hey man, if you do A, B, C, and D, this can generate this.
And they haven't made it to A.
They ain't even did A. They be like, oh yeah, I'm supposed to do A, ain't I? What was A again? Yeah. Write your name on the paper. Like, do simple shit.
So look, this comment says, off the muscle, out the mud. It's more lucrative and definitely worth it. Keep going. This one's for you. It says, Kev, those are the people who won't invest in themselves and expect everyone to invest in them. Make it make sense. That's 100%. I'm excited for you, Kev. You just said a word right there. It wasn't all of a sudden. My example to prove that point is the story of growth of a bamboo tree. Look it up if you don't know about it. All right, y'all, we're about to get some education. Look up the growth of a bamboo tree. All right, I'm with it. So, Kev, the grant writer.
Yep.
I'm excited for you, Kev. I think a lot of the things that were like kind of hindering, which for you was a dark space for you, was overcoming social media. Like, it was a lot to have to go do lives and introduce your people, and you felt like as a grant writer, you have to be this certain type of business person and look this certain type of way. And we had a podcast with Brandon Shotme, and he basically said, like, business owners and entrepreneurs are completely different looking than where they were before. But who said you had to look that way? And when he said that, I'm like, you got to think about that. Like, you can be your own and just embrace whatever it is for you. So I like the, you know, coming out as Kev the grant writer and being able to do it differently, not under anybody else's expectations, but what you want for it.
I like that. I like that.
So
you gonna read a comment?
Yeah, it says it takes 5 years to sprout from the ground, but once it does, it grows over 50 feet less than 90 days.
So the question is, did it take 5 years or does it take 90 days? You know what? It took 5 years and 90 days. It took all of that time. And the fact is, those 5 years is growing. You don't see the growth.
Right. And it sounds like something I heard Neo say.
Right, and sometimes when you don't see the growth, you become discouraged. It's like when we out here, when we say we watering, we're planting seeds and we're watering, we want them to bear fruit. Some trees that sprout real fast, give us some fruit real quick, and then there's no more fruit on that tree. Versus other seeds that we planted in the community, it take a longer time for that tree to grow to bear fruit. But now once it starts to bear fruit, it has a continuous source. And that's like with any type of business relations and things of that nature. There are some connections we built with people very quickly. It generated quick funding, quick sourcing and stuff like that. But now we don't interact with them people or talk to them anymore. While there's been other connections, that's been a slow growth, a slow process. And it's just, hey, now we're starting to see the tree grow. It might still ain't produce no fruit yet, but now we're seeing the growth and it feels more realistic, more sustainable.
Yeah. Okay.
Listen, man, I'm going to pat my head one more time like a deacon before we get about here.
But I'm saying this definitely was an episode full of, it seems like you are like, I don't know, like revelations. Like you're just realizing some things. It's exciting for me to see. Definitely a lot of gems dropped in this. I don't know. Like, did Taj, like, I don't know. Did he bring something out of you?
Energy creates energy. Movement creates movement. So just think having those interactions. So, no, speaking with Taj last week, interacting with Christopher King the past few days, and things like
that. You got to watch it back.
Listen, it's just been amazing energy. And I'm just trying to make sure I keep feeding on it. And certain things I would be leery to do or cautious to do. I'm like, man, why ain't I doing more of it? So I'm going to keep pressing. That's the game.
Yeah, keep pressing. Keep getting involved. I'm really excited for some of the connections that we're making. And one thing that I'll say I think used to be a dark for me, and it's not anymore. I used to be afraid to like mess up, you know, like you say the wrong thing, like you meet somebody and you're like, oh man, that wasn't right. Like, I think I messed that up. I'm no longer afraid of those things. Like, we all make mistakes in business. We're not always going to say the right thing. We're not always going to look the right way. But if I present myself as who I truly am, then I just like, it'll be okay. Like, people will recognize who I am. And like, we had talked like a couple podcasts ago, or, you know, certain people will say certain things about your business or who you are. And I've started to realize, like, that's none of my business. Like, if that person wants to believe whatever that story is about me, that has nothing to do with me. That's fine with me. But if they don't, and they take a chance to realize who I am as a person, you would ask yourself to the person who told you that story, so what'd you do in this situation? Because I'm as genuine as I feel like I can be. Like, I don't beat around the bush. I don't tell lies. And if I think it, I typically say it. But now I'm just no longer afraid to be like, all right, is that like a messed up connection? Because I didn't like say this, I do that, I look like this. I'm just unapologetically who I am now.
Unapologetically me. Man, I think that's a great place to end it, man. So listen, Boss Fest is around the corner. Boss Fest, we're going to call it our annual business networking event that's designed to help entrepreneurs grow and expand their brand. I'm going to get it out. Expand their brand. If you're looking to get in a room with like-minded individuals, if you're looking to get into a space and build new connections, new relationships, you definitely want to get in a room at Boss Fest. There are a lot of different events out there that cater to different things, but Boss Fest is designed for the educational piece of building your brand and your business. It's a lot of people saying, hey, do this step, do this step. Hey, we're trying to walk you A through Z, and then we're trying to give you the tools and link you up with the people that can help you navigate through some of this stuff. So it's going down October 6th, Tampa, Florida, Embassy Suites, Boss Fest. If you're looking for more information, you can go to www.boss-fest.com for ticket and vendor prices. I'm definitely letting y'all know that those things are limited. You definitely want to make sure you make taking advantage of those spots, and those vendor spots are limited. General admission is still good. VIP is getting limited. So if you're thinking about Boss Fest, thinking about getting in the room, don't wait last minute. Then call us up and say, man, I was going to do the VIP ticket, but it ain't, they all sold out. Well, that's business. If you move slow, you got to deal with what's left. So Boss Fest going down October 6th, Tampa, Florida.
Check out the lineup. I know a lot of people don't research who people are, but if you see the flyer going around, research some of the speakers. Like, I feel like we're bringing some heat this year. And it's not just, I don't want to say like for our local area in Polk County, like it's the same people speaking, but we were very intentional about the message we wanted to deliver this year and who we allowed to hit the Boss Fest stage. Like, we're working on everything from mindset to actually actionable items when you leave. And I realized, like, you go into previous events, like, I got to fix what's happening in my mind so that I'm ready to do the work that I need to do to be successful in my business. In this year's Boss Fest, we are giving you exactly that. So check out the speakers. Look at the lineup. I feel like we're bringing straight heat. So it's definitely the place you want to be.
So www.boss-fest.com for your tickets. And with that, listen, the Boss Fest podcast, it's been a great show. I enjoyed the conversation. We're going to see y'all next week.
We appreciate y'all.
Peace.